So we are back with another episode in our Dresden Files Accelerated Alaskan campaign. This will be session 6. And we are last session. We left things on kind of a cliffhanger, and we're just going to resolve that outside of play in just a moment here. But we're going to introduce our characters and players. If you guys look at the Roll20 screen, just going from left to right, if you can introduce yourselves, starting with Jameis and your character.
This is Jameis playing Lorenzo Halo. He is a psychotic, is cold-blooded killer for the law. So he sort of works for the Winter Court, sort of. Hasn't really come up too much, but he's mainly a police officer.
I'll pick it up from there. I am Steven. I am playing Paul Huns. Paul Huns is a changeling, a scion of the Wild Fae, the Earl King's Hounds, and he goes about life as a supernatural hitman for hire, spanning the globe and being rather more casual than his acquaintances are comfortable with.
Hello, my name is Locos, also known as Nicholas. I will be playing Wilbur Whateley of the Undegenerated Whateleys. I have come to Alaska to solve, well, a mystery in my grandfather's journal. Haven't made much progress in that yet, but I still hope.
I'm James. I will be playing Father Joshua Mallory, a Knight of the Cross, recently arrived in Alaska from Santa Fe after suddenly and inexplicably being sent away from his archdiocese in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
All right, so guys, from last episode, it's been 3 weeks since the exploration of Kennecott. The speedboat got away. You guys were able to secure the outsider crystal slash monolith with only minor injuries to Paul.
How much did I have to kill?
The creatures that were guarding it were mostly animals that were infected with the outsider virus. Fairly weak, thankfully for you.
So I had to kill a lot.
You had to kill a lot, but luckily they themselves did not kill much of you before your friends were able to haul you back out of there. So the people you were tracking unfortunately got away on that speedboat, but you have brought back solid information to the council. You have secured another one of these monoliths. To this point, two are known. Possibly there are more, and they're definitely responsible for the breach that the outsider infection has been getting into our mortal world here. Information was given to the council, and they, as of yet, haven't come up with anything more to you other than to let you know that the site has been secured and thanks was given to you.
I'm a hired gun. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm. Bad and pay.
I'm paid ridiculously well.
Yes, which I'm sure you don't actually discuss with anyone. But yes, the council does pay. So we find ourselves New Year's Eve, 1983, bringing on 84. And as traditional here in Juneau, festivities at Hunter's Lodge is the culmination of the year's experience for most of the city's youth and young at heart. Hunter goes all out. He expands the lodge into the back area, covers it, and lighting effects, dance floors, everything. He goes all out. It's the biggest event of the year. He makes a lot of money, and he spends a lot of money. So, you will all find yourselves at the party for various reasons here. The question is why? And so we're going to go around the table. I'm going to start up here with Mr. Whateley. It's definitely a young person's shindig here.
So my grandfather's journal mentioned a particular event such as this one. In fact, this seems to be an older tradition than is currently known by the bright lights and so on and so forth. I expect to see some of the original inhabitants here dancing their dances, and I hope to see in their patterns a key.
Okay. As you make your entrance, the live band strikes off a rendition of Sweet Dreams Are Made of These by the Eurythmics.
Of course they do. Real quick, has anyone explained to Father Mallory that it is, in fact, the 80s?
Yes.
Yes, I'm aware. Okay.
Yes, excellent news.
Paul, why do you find yourself here?
Well, it's a party. And actually, there's more. Parties tend to, besides being an excellent good time with often free-flowing beer, parties tend to be a group manifestation of psychic energies of everybody that's congregated there. And so for various reasons, they can be excellent hunting grounds for things that I hunt. So I am hunting the hunters. And you know, being kind of keeping my hand in the game, as the case may be.
Hmm. Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran plays as you make your entrance.
Makes sense, because I'm just thirsty like the wolf tonight, though.
Father, you have been in Juneau a mere week. The precarious position of the city and the ruling council has been explained to you by your new diocese. Who is your archbishop? Give me a name.
O'Malley.
Okay. O'Malley. What is O'Malley's personality like? He's not Roman Catholic, by the way, Nick, so he would not be part of your diocese.
Oh, I am. We are Greek Orthodox. So.
I am Roman Catholic. I came out of the architect. Yep. O'Malley is kind of like the nice old guy. He's almost befuddled and Mr. Magoo-ish, but anybody who knows him for any length of time realizes it's all an act, because he's all about raising up kids right and making sure that the kids are taught well in the church. And he's just this nice, sweet old man, and has a kind, warm smile for everybody, which is pretty much the opposite of Josh.
O'Malley is plugged into the supernatural world and how it affects Juneau. He does know. He is in the know. And while he would not condescend to tell a Knight of the Cross what his duties are here, it is explained to you that there is a precarious balance of power. And Juneau, as long as that power is kept in check, as the council has agreed within the members, everyone is fine.
Okay, so keep the peace, basically.
Yes.
However tenuous and thin it may be.
The council also will, on occasion, ask for your aid in things, if you are willing to give it. You're certainly not an agent of the council, but as a Knight of the Cross, you are informed of what's going on. That is of paramount concern right now is that there is something of an outsider invasion going on in Alaska. It's tied to certain monoliths that have been unearthed. It does not seem to be a full breach, but something is coming across, and it is being used to infect both human and animals. In humans, it's being passed on as a street drug.
So it had nothing to do with you complaining about the heat that one time.
Not at all. So, Father, what finds you here at this celebration?
In truth, he is present to kind of, it's a large social gathering in a comparatively small town. It's the best way to get a quick glance at the lay of the land in town after only being here a week. But also, Father O'Malley was like, you should get out there and get to know people. Joshua, you're so quiet and reserved and antisocial. You need to be among the people. So Josh is just kind of walking through the crowd like someone who is obviously uncomfortable walking through the crowd. Not dancing. He's got a drink, but he's not someone who saddles up to a bar and drinks. He's just very stiff.
Okay. Billy Joel's Allentown plays as you enter.
I'm glad it wasn't personal Jesus.
All right. And Lorenzo, what brings you here tonight?
Oh, it's easy. I'm here as an undercover cop. And by undercover, I mean I'm not wearing the full tactical armor and my police badge isn't on display.
Nice. Overkill by Minute Work plays.
I was going to say, I've been very impressed with your deep, deep knowledge of these songs. But then again, you are a 90s baby. So
no, my teens were in the
80s. I'm sorry. In 80s, baby. I misspoke.
Yes. Yes. Okay, guys. It is packed. It has been a very rare occasion that you have seen so many of Juno's youth in one place. Not even being heated by any means other than body heat. It is sweltering hot in here as the light play and the music plays. Several live bands take the stage one after another. Intermission gaps filled by a DJ. As a celebration night, the beer is free. The harder stuff, of course, pay as you go.
I am pointedly not drinking. He asks for water.
Mm-hmm.
Beer's got, Paul has a beer, of course, and he's scoping the scene.
Right.
On the hunt already.
The rest of you guys, Paul, Lorenzo, and Mr. Watley, have been told that there is a Knight of the Cross in town, been given his description and name, but you have yet to meet him. You were told that he would likely be here tonight.
Do we know what that means?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Okay.
For those that didn't, the council kind of informs you as to what a bearer of one of the Swords of the Cross means.
Father Mallory wearing a clerical collar?
No.
It's also a question of how do you hide your sword, Father?
Well, it's funny. It's I do wear a navy peacoat, but I don't walk around Highlander style. If I'm there in a clerical capacity, that means I probably have a parsonage. And in most cases, the parsonage would or the sword would be at the church because the church will be holy ground and probably have some form of threshold.
Mm-hmm. So, how are you coming tonight? How are you dressed? And are you sans sword or with sword?
He does not have the sword with him. It's a cavalry saber in a crowded area that's asking to get shot. He is wearing a gray sweater, a pair of blue jeans, work boots, a navy peacoat. He looks to be a broad-shouldered African-American gentleman with a goatee. If he were cast in a film, it would be young Lawrence Fishburne. And to give you an idea, it would be evident to everyone, one of his aspects is he always looks pissed off.
Yeah, I spotted him a long time ago. He's stiff, he's pissed off, he's also black.
Yep.
He's not hiding in this crowd.
No, he doesn't hide in most crowds, especially in Alaska in the 80s.
Well, does Paul want to introduce himself?
Well, Paul's presumably Father Mallory is also kind of on the outskirts of the crowd as well, just so he doesn't have to deal with the crush.
He's actually at the bar with his back to the crowd, drinking a glass of water, kind of hunched over the bar.
Oh, perfect. So Paul will slide up and say, "Evening, Father." Paul Hans. Want a card? Offers him a business card.
Father Mallory turns his head very slowly, looks Paul right in the eye, offers a single slow nod, looks down at the business card without ever moving his head, looks back up at Paul, takes it, looks at the card, looks back up at Paul and raises an eyebrow in exactly that kind of slow, methodical way.
Paul's business card just says, Paul Huns, freelancer, and a number. and thought to make me introductions. I'm Paul Huns.
He looks at the card again and says, what exactly do you freelance?
I lance whatever needs lancing freely with big sticks of the pointy variety. So whatever goes bump of the night, I make it go eek.
As an aside, the rest of you guys will probably have noticed him. As he pointed out, he does stick out in a crowd.
I put the business card in the interior breast pocket of my peacoat, not ever taking my eyes off Paul, and I say, I see. I suppose I should talk with you. I understand you have some associates who are involved in delicate matters in this frozen hellhole.
Associate's a strong word. I'm more the hired help myself, but I do have to acquaint myself with a few of the regulars of the situations. But I know generally everybody that you need to know around here. If I don't, I find out later. I look around pointedly around the room. A couple of them are here tonight.
Is there anyone you would like to point out to me, Mr. Freelancer?
Do you want to know of the wizard or the henchman?
Let's start with the wizard.
Now, Father Mallory sticks out of this crowd, but how badly does Wilbur Whatley stick out in this crowd?
About like a buffalo in a crowd of sheep.
I'm like,
he's not mingling with the guests. He is standing aloof and over to the side and has a large radius around him.
While we're on the topic of sticking out, does Lorenzo also stick out or does he actually blend?
As it is here in his official capacity, so you guess.
Well, it's Lorenzo, so I'm not entirely sure.
He sticks out like a plainclothes officer.
Yeah, because he's not his plainclothes uniform. Instead, it's just he's not wearing his tactical gear, and he hasn't got his badge out. But otherwise,
his personality also sticks out. All right, Paul is the only one that blends into the crowd. All right, you might have caught their notice already, but the wizard—he's that one over there, and I point to the probably three-piece suit wearing gentleman.
Yes, Wilbur Whately is a tall gentleman, 6'4", has kind of a very sallow complexion of one who doesn't get out to the sun or see the outside except where it impinges upon his world. He has a vague air of sickness about him, although his doesn't seem to be ever concretized. A long face with deep inset eyes that are, glitter blue, and hair that hangs. He is, in fact, in a three-piece suit with a rather stylish, stylish in the, maybe in the 18th century, cane.
You know what makes you really stick out is that you're wearing the three-piece suit unironically?
Yes, it is, in fact, tailored to the nines, and with every pitch and every part in its appropriate thing, the tie is actually tied correctly and is just hanging down straight, and he just observes and walks.
Kind of like pocket watch with a fob, the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
Good man.
Oh, yes.
And then, that's the wizards. I'd be a little surprised if you didn't take notice of him earlier. Name's Whatley, Wilbur Whatley.
People call him.
He's as pretentious as he sounds. There's also the henchman over there. He's that one that's sticking out. Want to describe Lorenzo?
Yeah, he's fairly tall, but his most noticeable feature is that he is an albino. So, blonde white hair and rather deep blue eyes. At the moment, because it's so packed, there's a lot of people sort of moving past him. And then those around him are obviously for a very law-abiding manner, of course, while they're near him. But they don't stick around too long, but since it is quite packed, and you always knew people flinging the gaps. But he has got, and Birkin, of course, negate this, but he is watching a group of people who are quote-unquote dressed up as vampires.
Which you know to be actual vampires, by the
way. Yeah, but he's keeping an eye on them. There's the agreements and all that sort of stuff, so you know he's not doing anything about it, but he has got his eye on.
I kind of look over at, oh God, I totally just blanked on your character's name, man. I'm sorry.
It's on the,
yeah, I look over at Paul, and I'm like, these are the individuals you freelance for?
Hey, the money's good. I don't necessarily choose the clients that, well, I do choose my clients, but I don't choose whom I get put with by my clients.
I see. I'm not here to judge. I was just confirming.
Hey, it's all good, man. There's another friend of mine that sometimes comes around. Kind of a lives on a bridge kind of guy. But I don't see him around here right now. He's a good sort. But maybe I'll introduce you later.
Lives under a bridge.
Hey. We don't judge, right?
No, not at all. I'm simply thinking maybe we could help the man. It's cold out there.
A new band takes the stage, and as the strains of Michael Jackson's Beat It starts, there is a rumble that is felt, like a small earthquake, not unusual for Alaska. Anyone that's been here for a year or more has probably felt this at least once. It seems to just invigorate the youthful crowd as they begin to shout and dance harder.
Someone dropped a bass and landed on the floor and shook it.
Paul would notice that Josh is very uncomfortable with this. He immediately grabs the bar with white knuckle. He's from New Mexico. This is no, this is not okay. But he looks like he's trying to hide it, but he's not hiding it very well.
Paul has an easy manner. He does not judge. Also, he's black, so who knows?
I am going to seek to see if there is something afoot.
Okay. How do you go about doing that?
I am going to see if I can open myself up.
Ooh.
Not to the third eye, of course, okay. Because that would be insane. But I am nonetheless going to try and see if there's a new tinge of magical energy in the area. Because the earth rattling could be a sign.
Sure. Are you doing this hastily, or are you doing this with focus and care?
I am taking my time in doing it.
Okay. I'm going to say that with everyone dancing around you and the very loud music going on, it's going to be a little bit more difficult than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing is not really, really easy in this environment. Go ahead. Give me a roll.
I will say focus then.
Sure.
Right. Oh, my Lord.
Okay, yeah, even with me wanting a success a little bit better than normal, that is incredible. All right, So you have mere moments to act, Mr. Watley. There is a large upwelling of power in the area. With such a high level of success, though, nature, magic, the earthquake that you just felt was not natural, not normal. You have but moments to act. What do you do?
Okay. I am going to try to have a channel of it and try to channel out as much of it and dissipate as much of it as humanly possible.
Okay. with that five as well, you can kind of get a sense for how powerful it is. It is very powerful. You might be able to do this, but you're not going to do this unscathed.
Right. Yes. I accept such a price.
This is definitely going to be a forceful approach, unfortunately. Yep. You just don't have enough time to prepare yourself. You're using yourself as a conduit to move this energy elsewhere. Where are you trying to ground it?
I am going to try to dissipate it in sound.
Ooh. And have it. I like it.
Basically, it's a very loud thing, and I'm going to create a nice little sonic boom.
All right, go for it. This is going to be a versus roll. Yeah, you got any aspects you want to pull up that might allow you to re-roll that?
Well, given that a re-roll is going to probably statistically not end up better, I will use the Whatley Evils Must Be Undone.
Okay, well, you can hold on. You can see what you're up against first if you want.
Okay.
So you have a one success.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, no. Well, I guess I'm not going to succeed on this one.
Okay, so you're going to let it pass?
Yeah, I mean, if I get a three, will I at least lessen the severity?
Yeah. At this point, what you're doing is damage control. It's overwhelming. It is. You're in danger of having your synapses fried, your eyes blown out of your head.
I mean, you don't want the character, really, did you?
No, I mean, you know, I didn't spend much time in making this guy. Yes, I will spend a chip on the Whatley Evils Must Be Undone.
Okay, you're just going to add a +2, or are you going to reroll?
No, yeah, I'll take a +2. Thank you.
So three. So you're going to take three boxes of damage.
Yep.
So how does that look? This is just a powerful surge of magic that goes through you. You're trying to control it, and you just shut yourself off as soon as you realize that you're not going to do it.
Sadly, I have made myself, rather than fully dissipating this, I have made myself the epicenter. So I have been, I shout out a word in Babylonian, loud, to the crowd, and I am propelled as if pulled by wires 20 feet into the air and through the crowd coming crashing down.
Shh, don't give away the special effects.
Since what you were aiming for is to convert it into sound, the word you spoke was like an incredible basso profundo, you know, and it just echoes as you're thrown through the crowd, oddly in beat to the Michael Jackson music being played. Mm-hmm. So as you're lofted in the air, and people just naturally assume, they grab you and you're moved around in the pit, being moved hand over hand over hand as you're being passed through the crowd. Unfortunately, that did not succeed on your behalf. And there is a further earthquake. This time it starts small as it did before, and people again yell out, dance harder, but then it doesn't stop. It builds and builds. The room shakes, speakers being knocked over, lights are flickering. People on the dance floor are now getting very concerned.
Yeah.
And then, before folks are able to act, it is as if the floor drops beneath you. It feels like the entirety of Hunter's Lodge has just fallen and continues to fall as people scream.
Okay, pause.
Bert?
Oh, Eddie's on. Sure.
Which is why I brought him up in conversation.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Bert.
Yes.
I want to shove my way through the crowd yelling for people to get out of the way.
Okay.
I want to yell for people to get the hell out of my way and start forcing my way through the crowd to get to the DJ and try to get to the mic to tell people to leave.
Okay. Unfortunately, again, this happened very quickly. So you're forcing your way through the crowd as the earthquake is getting stronger. It's like you're midway through the crowd trying to get to the DJ as, like, again, the bottom just falls out. And so it feels like the whole lodge is in free fall. It doesn't last long before there's a big crash. Everyone is knocked off their feet as the lodge has fallen some distance, knocking everyone aside. Do you want to continue, Father? The lights are now off. Electricity is gone. You can feel the draft of the cold night air coming through the damaged parts of the building. So is the father still trying to head towards the DJ, or?
Sorry about that. Once it stops, I would just know, like, part of the way through the crowd, so I wouldn't, you know. Once the falling position stops, I would not try to get to the DJ booth anymore.
Okay, yeah, everyone's been knocked off their feet. You fell some distance. Everything, electricity is completely off. Okay, so some damage has been sustained to the lodge. The cold night air is coming in. No lights. It's pitch black. Just in general, what's going on? Father, what are you doing?
Since I couldn't force my thing, the falling sensation stopped, correct?
Yes, you've landed somewhere.
Oh, how does the crowd seem to be acting? Do they even...
Oh, panicked. Very panicked. Most of them are still trying to regain their feet.
I start helping people up and telling them it might be a good idea for them to leave.
Okay.
I'm giving them kind of a stern look while doing it, because, you know, I always look pissed off.
Mr. Watley, what's going on? Your body surfing has come to the end once the fall happened. You find yourself on your back on the floor. People panicked around you. It's pitch black.
Okay. I am going to try to basically throw up a light spell that looks like a flare.
Okay. Go ahead. Haste, it sound like, if you're trying to do it quickly.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, two.
Yeah, no problem. Sure. It's like a roadside flare goes off.
Yep. And it gives... Well, that should help ease the crowd's mind.
What it illuminates is the windows in Hunter's Lodge. It looks out. There's no view to the open air. What you're looking at is what looks like the sides of a chasm. Rock face is pushed up against the broken glass. Someone's opened the front door, and they find the same. It is just opens onto a ledge of rock. Paul.
Yo.
What are you doing?
Being one of the very few people to land on his feet, he scavenges a... You know, a bottle of vodka, half empty, you know, grabs a spare rag just in case, checks his lighter.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Making an ad hoc torch, Lorenzo.
I reckon I do actually have a flashlight on me.
Yep.
I'm pretty much, you know, Juno PD, I'm about to just calm them down, take control of the situation, and get the flashlight out of them. All right.
Let's see how well your command works. So that sounds very forceful.
Yep.
Go for it.
I would think so. Yeah, average roll.
Well, actually, people have a lot of respect for the police in Juneau. So, you know, there is a little bit, you know, it's not a mad rush to the door that no one can get out. So it does seem to stop the panic levels from rising too much. And Eddie is with us. So, Eddie. I don't know how much of that you caught. You're at a New Year's Eve party at Hunter's Lodge. Big earthquake just happened. The lodge seemed to drop. Lights are out, although there's a flare that was just set off to give some light going on. Eddie, what do you do?
Having just come in the door, I flick on my light, flashlight, open the door, and realize there is, in fact, stone there. So I poke it with my baseball bat. I have chosen the wrong time to appear.
Crap. It was your weight that did it.
Man, every time.
Those fire marshals don't joke around about capacity limits.
Trying to think if there are any other exits I can use to get up and out.
You're thinking maybe the roof. So, you know, through the roof. I mean, the roof is damaged. You can actually feel the draft of the cold coming through. But up seems better than to the sides. Perhaps down.
And my desire is to work my way so I can make an exit so that the civilians can get out.
Okay. Maybe you're uprighting some of the big amplifiers so that you can stand on top of it and get to the roof and see what can be seen. Is that fair?
Sounds good.
All right. So that's what you're doing. You guys are the few that are actually taking action in here. Most people are panicked and, again, like trying to find ways out. So you definitely notice each other at this point.
I yell to Paul, "I'll be back." And I go out the front door and start climbing the rock up.
Okay. You can't actually. The door is flush up against the rock face, so there, you can't actually step out of the door at all.
There's not enough space to squeeze your body out and start shimmying up or anything?
There's about a finger's width between the door and the rock face.
In that case, I will run back through the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Places like this have a stairway going up.
They do.
The ventilation, and I'm going to start looking for that stairway to make an exit up.
Okay, sounds good. Father has run towards the kitchen.
Party brought the roof down. It's just slamming tonight. Paul was also going to be heading up, but he's going to just take a more direct route. He's going to leave the torch on the bar because that's going to be enough for him to see by. And he's just going to straight up climb some rafters.
Okay, sounds good.
Just casual, like it's no big thing.
Bert, was there a smoke generator at this party?
Of course.
I'm going to be looking and seeing if the smoke is being pulled, particularly deeper inwards.
Nice. It is not. It's still circulating around the floor. It's a dry ice machine with a fan blower. The fan stopped, but the dry ice is still, of course, dissipating.
But there is not an undercurrent like we are. There's an open door and there's a bunch of trolls about to leap through.
Gotcha. No, it just seems to be, it's not moving very much. So there's a little airflow through here, but not what you're thinking. Like there's not like a big gap opening somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And then once I get done with that, I am going to be looking to see about my supernatural brethren.
Okay.
And to see what are the vampires doing during all of this?
Actually, they've kind of gathered themselves together kind of off to the side. They know who you are. I mean, you're essentially the peacekeepers and the people that keep the laws of the council going. So they're being very wary to let you know they're not part of the problem.
Yeah.
Especially Lorenzo over there.
Oh, I would be very happy to put two in some of them tonight. Oh well.
Right. They're making a big show of like hands up and like, hey, we're not having anything to do with this. Those of you that have gone high to find exits, easy enough, the roof is shattered. So it is easy enough to pull yourself up into the night air. You can hear you are at the bottom of some kind of chasm or pit. It looks like perhaps Hunter's Lodge was actually built on top of some caverns. No one actually knew this. The earthquake shifted enough that the entirety of the lodge fell into the caverns. But you guys can actually hear sirens out there. There's no ambient light, so it means the electrical grid is down. And you can hear people in the town crying out as well. Unfortunately, the other thing you hear is the sound of wolves.
And I think, I hear you, brother.
I don't have a silver head on this thing yet. Is that going to be a problem?
Not for me. So, let's see.
I am going to be going.
Is the father up on the roof with us, or?
Actually, you see the father is quickly scaling the rock sides of the cliff. Seems like he has his own agenda and is quickly leaving the scene, which, by the way, to get out of here easily, if you can go ahead and give me, this is your choice of force or haste to make it up the side of the caverns for you to get to your church, Father.
By the way, Michael, this is the new player, James, who's playing the character of Father Mallory, one of the...
I read up on it.
What's names?
Knights of the Cross.
Minus one. Okay, so you can fail or you can succeed at...
Did you add your stat to that?
True. I don't think you added your stat.
It would have been a two.
That is correct. It would have been a two. I'm sorry.
More than enough. Okay, so you're able to scale the sides of the chasm and start running towards the church. It's very dark outside. There's enough moonlight to see by. And you do see that there are wolves harrying citizens that are trying to flee into buildings, those that were caught outside when this all happened. The wolves don't look right.
I am screaming and attempting to get their attention to the point where I will scoop up snow and throw shit at them as I run by. I want them.
Okay. Sure. Since you're using snow and et cetera, go ahead and give me... Force, make me a force roll. Okay, are you intending to stand and fight or to lead them away as you run to the?
I want to lead them to the church. I want them to follow. Like I'll slow down enough to like, yeah, you can catch them. I mean, they're wolves.
Yep, you got their attention. They definitely there's something that doesn't seem right about them. The light's too poor to actually really investigate that feeling much more. But they're not moving right. They don't seem to be moving naturally to you, but you've got their attention, and now you run.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so we're gonna cut scenes though. That's what's happening with the father. Paul, you've pulled yourself up to the roof. You just saw the father go up, climb up, and go over the ledge.
Yep, and I also hear the wolves. And being a outdoorsman for decades, he's actually probably the oldest person of the four. He knows those wolves don't sound right.
Yes.
Can't say much more beyond that because there's a lot of things that can mean. And when it goes into the supernatural realm, it could mean just about anything. It's hard to distinguish supernatural affliction by sound alone. He's going to go, kind of run some overwatch on the father. Because, you know...
So first of all, you have to climb the ledge first to even see what's going on with the father. So let's handle that first.
Climb that ledge because he's definitely keeping up with him. So he's going to do it with haste.
Go for it.
Easily.
Yes, easily. In which case, you just see the end result of the father getting the attention of the wolves, and he bolts as the wolf pack follows them. And again, now you can also notice, do you have any ability to see better than normal in bad light?
No, there's actually a stunt for that, and I do not have that yet.
Then what you do notice is the lope is wrong. They're not moving correctly. There's definitely something wrong with these, quote, wolves.
Could I make a... Like, I've hunted a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Could I make, like, an intellect check, which is not one of my good skills?
Yes, you can. However, if you pause to do this, the pack and the father will get further away, but you are welcome to do so.
No, I'm going to keep track anyway. Knowing exactly what it is less important than trying to back up what I actually probably correctly think of as the big gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll cut scenes from you guys. Lorenzo, you and Mr. Watley are on the floor still. Yep. Seems like your compatriots have left, so what are you doing?
Crowd control, the first point. Let's get them under. People might have.
I will kind of be striving to work with the good police officer to do crowd control and see if we can start getting people to basically act as a bridge where people are starting to help each other up and out. And work makes people not worry.
Yeah. I'll be putting people into groups, even if, you know, there's sort of, so who's this person? Well, you know, okay. take care of each other.
Okay. So Lorenzo has already gotten, with his commanding voice, has already restored some semblance of sanity to the crowd. If you are Mr. Whatley giving a hand, sure. So what's going on is people are, you know, under your direction, are stacking speakers together to basically make a stairway, as they are the largest easily moved pieces of furniture around. So you're heading up to the rafters. It sounds good. Yeah, you guys are doing a really good job at this. It doesn't look like, other than minor sprains from the fall, anyone is really hurt. Lorenzo, you are noticing, though, that many in the crowd are, well, I think the adjectives the kids use are tripping balls.
Okay. Real quick.
Yeah.
Bert, where's the band?
Well, the band is part of the crowd now. I mean, they
okay. Like, no, yeah. So they are not my source. That is
no.
Okay. So that's why I said I'm sort of putting people into groups, and those that look somewhat with it are then the ones in charge. And so they are organizing people into, okay, you guys looking after these people, you guys looking after these people, you guys are helping me with this, you guys are helping me with this. Even pushing the vampires and other supernatural creatures into helping. Because I know they're going to be taking lead sort of naturally. They're more resilient to this sort of thing, so they can help control. Because there's a lot of people.
Lorenzo, just roll me a D4, 4D fudge. No extra to it. Just roll me just a set of fudge dice.
I think that's the one. Ooh, yes.
Oh, two. Okay, there actually are two off-duty officers here that were enjoying the festivities that you're actually able to rope into helping as well. And knowing your position within the council, the vampires that are here, white court, by the way, no reds.
I thought they would have been reds.
The reds have difficulty controlling the urges, and because of the sanction put on them, they typically don't show up to these things.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, they help.
Oh, white court can definitely help keep people under control.
They help. They're young. They're all very young, but yep, no problem. Okay, guys, so we're going to cut scenes from you. You're trying to get everybody up and out onto the roof to safety, and that's going to take some time. But
we're pretty much out of the scene.
Okay, so, Father, you're trying to outrun some wolf things. Give me a haste roll as you book it as fast as you can. This is going to be contested with how fast the wolves are moving.
Haste is my dump stat, too. This could go poorly.
A zero. Ooh, okay. Well, they got a five, so they're going to run you down. Is there anything you want to tap to roll again or just add to your roll?
I have two fate points. How close am I to the church?
If you can make this burst, you will be able to get to the door and close it. But they are very fast. I don't know if you saw the roll. They made a five to your zero.
Yeah, I saw.
So you're going to have to make up that ground.
Can I spend a fate point to have noticed a drift in the snow? Given that this is, it's a windy area, there's already been a shift in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
To see, say... it's a town. There's not really going to be a whole lot there.
Well, what you would have to do to use your fate points, first, do you have an aspect that you would like to use? If not, using an environmental aspect is just fine. If you say snowdrift, that could be the descriptive use of getting a +2 to your roll when you spend a fate chip.
It's not even going to help because I've already only got a zero.
Right, so a re-roll and then perhaps another spin could help.
Yeah.
But that's up to you. You can just take the zero.
However, go ahead.
You have to keep in mind that fate is highly skewed towards zero plus one minus one.
Yeah.
You got a minus one, so therefore...
Yeah.
Your best bet to get out of this is to dump two fate points and try to work from there. Or fight off the wolves hand to hand.
You know what? I'm forceful. Mm-hmm. And, you said I'm within sight of the church.
Yes.
Sight of the church and you said, what phase is the moon?
Quarter.
Quarter. the light of the quarter moon coming through the stained glass front of the church illuminates the crucifix at its peak, giving me faith to turn, place my faith in the shepherd who shall protect me from the wolves.
Okay. And
face them.
All right. So that sounds in like you're just going to keep your zero, let them catch up to you, and then let it play out. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? Okay. Sounds good.
Unless I know normally you have to this word, unless you would allow me to invoke faithful, because it is a Knight of the Cross trait.
What will it do for you?
It gives me a +5 to anything associated with faithful and puts me at an ungodly level.
Oh, yep. Yeah. If you want to invoke that, then you will make it to the church.
Then yes, I will invoke that. Okay. It gives me a faithful trait at superb and basically... you have faithful traits superb. Actions current on the faithful may have a scale at the may scale at GM discretion.
So. Sure, yeah, that's fine. If you want to invoke that, we'll give you a scale which sheds wings to your feet, and you will get to the church. Do you have to spend a fate point to invoke that?
Yes, it's an aspect. I believe I do.
Yeah,
it's got a little checkbox next to it. It's a unique condition, so yes.
Nope. Okay. Yep. Dump the fate point and you will make it to the church.
I say a quick prayer to Saint Expeditus, who is, yes, a real Catholic saint. and I suddenly seem to gather speed and outrun them.
Paul, you are joined by Eddie on the roof. Eddie, if you could.
I was following, actually.
Right. So Eddie also came to the roof and would have seen you go up. So, Eddie, if you want to follow Paul. Give me a roll to get up the side of the cliff. Otherwise, if you wanted to do something else.
Sure, I'll follow Paul. It'll be fun.
Okay, so either haste or forceful to get up the cliff. Either one. That's good enough. Yep. So you get up to the cliff. Paul, it looks for a moment like the father is about to be ran down by the pack of wolves, and then there's a sudden burst of speed. Supernatural. It is quite obvious as there's just a sudden burst of unearthly speed that overtakes the father, and he runs to the church. Yes.
Well, ain't that something?
Can we say that the burst of speed comes on as he steps under the shadow of the cross at the top of the church?
Sure, yeah, awesome. That works. So, Paul, the wolf pack is very is just bearing down on him. Did you want to jump into the fray and distract the, or you want to just wait to see if the father gets to the church?
Well, I want to know if I can invoke one of my stunts, Hunter's Network.
All right,
which reads as: you associate with a loose confederation of hunters who trade rumors and update each other. Once per session, when you are in pursuit, I'm not actually in pursuit. That is actually a condition I have.
Mm-hmm.
I may succeed automatically at an overcome roll to find information about your quarry. If this information can be expressed as an advantage, you get an aspect with 2 free invokes as well.
Yeah, as you point out, though, you are not in pursuit. So,
yes,
yeah.
Okay.
does not come into being. So what do you do? Do you want to wait to see if the father makes it, or do you want to give him an edge by attacking the wolves?
Well... don't want to call in pursuit just yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm a handy guy with a knife. And I got a big freaking knife. Big and shiny. I'm going to teach these wolves how a real wolfhound operates. Tooth and claw.
All right. So, yep, you come up behind the pack and just dive in. Eddie, are you going to help? What do you want to do? You're in a position to help Paul if you want to.
Follow behind.
Okay. So, okay. Paul, you as you run towards the wolf pack, you are paced by Eddie with his baseball bat slung out. He seems to be joining you. So both of you guys, go ahead and give me some attack rolls on this wolf pack. Actually, as you get closer, you know now what was wrong. These wolves aren't alive. They're being animated by something. There are broken legs, broken bones showing through the fur. Eyes have been rotted out long since.
Anything black and dripping?
Yes, the black ichor is like pouring out of a lot of the wounds.
The undead must not be tolerated. So, being that I was coming up from behind them and essentially bushwhacking them since their prey has escaped, coming them from behind, I would like to use guile, potentially.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right, so I definitely give them a good whacking with a 4.
Actually, I'm going to drop that by a minus 2 since you came in behind them, so they're going to end up with a 3. So yeah, you're going to do damage to one of the wolves.
Yes, and what is it? Countermeasures. Once per session, you may declare that you happen to have a countermeasure on hand that nullifies the effect of scale from a supernatural condition or stunt for the current scene.
Sure. It's not really applicable here. They don't have scale on you.
Okay, so they don't.
Nothing special about them.
Well, traditionally, that's my knife, and I'm stabbing them pretty good.
Anything special about your knife? Does it do any extra damage, anything like that?
No, it's just a flavor for my countermeasures.
Okay, so the wolf yelps, now knowing that you're back there.
Technically, it'd be like fey metal.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the blow is not enough to, the blow is not quite enough to send this wolf back to being dead, but it's still a very good strike. Eddie, did you want to also engage?
Charging him with a battle cry.
Sure. Forceful, then. Okay, you splat one. You snap its spine, and it's drive its head into the snow, cracking its jaw. The animating fluid seems to pull off it and to sizzle in the night air. And at this point, the father reaches the doors of the church, and you're able to get inside and close the door as the first of the hounds reach and start scratching and biting at the door. Very thick wood, however. meanwhile, back at the cabin, you have gotten some of the patrons to the roof. You're now figuring out how to scale the sides of the cliff. Hunter, the proprietor of the lodge, does have some spare lumber around, which you're able to use as planks to create, you know, basically very quick stairs to get to the top. So you guys are ushering everybody out of the chasm.
Okay.
This is also where you note that electricity in Juno seems to, at least in this area, seems to be out, and you can hear people yelling on the streets.
And if I have an opportunity, I will whisper into the police officer's ear that this was an attack by something mighty. Very mighty.
Do you know who we're from?
No. I sought to dissipate it, but it was no more than spitting into the wind.
And you said we had police sirens in the air anyway?
Yes, you can hear the sounds of police sirens on the streets.
Well, I'm sure we'll be perfectly fine and nothing will happen to attack us.
Well, I fear that this might be a reprisal of some sort and that there ought to be broader problems at hand than us getting out of here. I believe that if we rely on Deer Hunter here to secure these people's protection, we could be more service elsewhere.
We've still got to at least get at ourselves. Doing that, we can make it easy for everyone.
Indeed. All right. But we should not tarry here.
So you get these plank ladders set up for people to get over the ledge. And this is where you note that there's definitely something going on in the city. Police cars are moving around. So in the headlights of some of the cars, you're seeing that packs of roaming dogs, maybe large dogs, are hunting down or just tracking down and taking out citizens. The police are out in force. They're shooting at them. You notice that several of these dogs, wolves maybe, are taking the shots dead on and seem to be just ignoring them and still going after people that are trying to flee into open buildings.
I will go over to Hunter and say, asking the police officer to come with me, Mr. Hunter, perhaps the logs, after myself and my companion get down, the logs fail, and that people congregate here. I do not think that the air out tonight is wholesome.
Yeah, Hunter gets what you're saying. It's like safer down there, huh?
All yes. Right.
Yeah, he goes and arranges a problem with the ladders.
Come, Lorenzo. There's my blood sings tonight.
Yep, and once you get out, the first stop was going to be my car, so I can get a shotgun.
Yep, and your car's parked. Your car didn't fall into the pit, so it's still parked out there. Though it was very close. It came within feet of taking out your car as well. So you go for your shotgun and your gear. Cut scenes to Paul and Eddie. You're going to have one round while the father is inside retrieving his sword to deal with this pack of now four. It was five. One is injured. I'm going to let you guys go ahead and go first because the pack is still a bit disoriented and they're very slow to respond to new stimuli. So, Paul, what are you doing? There's still four up. Oh, the smell, by the way, is horrible. Gross. And it shouldn't be because the corpses have been dead and desiccated long enough in the coldness of the air that they really shouldn't smell, but they do.
It shouldn't be this aromatic in this cold weather, but it is. I think Eddie wanted to go first since he just rolled.
Sure. Sounds good. Eddie rolled a three. Okay. They are not, however, surprised anymore, so they get their full value. To stand off, Eddie, you are waving your bat. They're still agile enough, even in their decomposed state, to avoid you a bit, unless you want to tap any aspects or do something else to increase your number there.
Would two take it down?
Yes.
All right, then, yeah, I'll tap. Using brains is hard, brawn is easy.
Perfect. You crush another skull. One more wolf down.
And Paul takes in from there and swiftly goes to the side of Eddie and lays into a wolf that was looking to pounce on him from the side. And he's doing that in a fast fashion. So haste.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And is it enough, though?
It is. Well, yeah, you got one. Let's say
it was the one you
injured. Yeah, it's the one you injured before, so that's enough to put it down. So how does that look like?
So he had slashed that one earlier. It whirled away and circled around and was going to go after the guy that didn't have the knife. But Paul just spun around his back and just swung his knife through the air again, and his head just goes flying off.
Okay. Meanwhile, Father, how do you retrieve your sword?
The sword is, of course, behind and underneath a small cubby in the altar in the front, main area of the cathedral. He goes and quickly retrieves it, yanks it from the scabbard before it's even out of the hold, and runs back to the front door, and says a quick prayer and boots the door open.
Sure. That will happen after the end of this round as the remaining two wolves do go after Paul and Eddie, one on each. So, Paul, here's yours. Two. If you want to defend yourself there, tell me how. Oof. Okay, if you're sticking with that, then you are going to take three boxes of damage as it bites into your leg, your left leg, trying to hamstring you. And Eddie, go ahead and avoid that how you wish.
I'm just swinging my bat back and forth, trying to keep him away from me.
Okay, sounds like a forceful way to defend yourself. Yeah, no problem. You're able to keep it at bay. At that time, Father, you burst forth from the door. It seems like two of the people that you just met at the dance floor or had been pointed out to you are trying to fight off the wolf pack. There are some of the wolves lying dead. Two of them are still harrying the guys. What do you want to do?
He kicks the door open and without missing a stride cries out, O God, creator and redeemer of the faithful, grant unto the souls of thine departed servants full remission from their sins, and cleaves into the nearest one.
Sure. Go ahead.
Can I, since it's still the same scene, can I, would Faithful still be active? Because it's
yes, same scene. You're okay, good. Cool. Did you roll? There it is. Oh, yeah. so that's enough for spin. So if you actually want to spin that into the second creature, you can take put care of both of them.
Oh, hell yes.
Okay. All right, so the father comes out. What does this look like when you brandish the sword? What does the sword look like? Does it do anything special when it's being wielded by you?
So basically, imagine the whole 20-something Lawrence Fishburne in the black peacoat. He boots the door open with these big black work boots, and behind him you can see on the wall of the church the crucifix of Christ, and there's light on the wall behind him coming through the stained glass that's somehow pure white. And seems to, maybe it's just reflecting, maybe it's just the way it catches the light, but no, the sword is radiating white, hot light. When he utters this prayer, the light flashes. The undead wolves turn and look, and he takes two strides, and with the words remission, he cleaves one in half, and then on the backswing of their sins, he cleaves the other in half. And then before their heads have hit the ground, he drops into the snow, and you see wrapped in his left fist is a rosary made of, like, dog tag beads, and he drops into prayer immediately.
All right. We'll cut scene there. Back to Lorenzo Mr. Waitley. All right. Lorenzo, you've got your shotguns. There are packs of roving wolves or dogs. Most people have the sense and or ability to get indoors at this time, and it seems like the doors are enough to keep them out. I would like both of you guys actually to give me let's see here. Oh boy, it's been a bit. What were we using for notice?
Focus?
Yes, what's focus. It? Yeah. Intellect? Both of you guys give me focus rolls. Okay.
I good enough.
You notice that in some of the alleys, there's also roaming gangs of people, packs of three, packs of five, and they seem to be not stymied by the doors like the wolves are, and they're systematically going from house to house, battering down the doors, and you can hear screams from inside as they go in.
Well, Mr. Lorenzo, I believe they say the game is afoot. Let us go and cleanse this infection.
Is it just one group of people, or is it a whole bunch of different
groups? A bunch of groups, more than one. Okay. Some of the police are trying to handle them, but you're noticing that, like, there's a group that you're watching. They're telling them, like, put your hands up, except they're ignoring the police. The police open fire. They're definitely hitting these people, but it doesn't seem to have any effect. And the police are starting to worry a bit.
Waitley, get in. There's obviously a source that's need to find it, track it down. I'll drive us there. And can I? And I'll probably spend a fate point to say that this is going to happen because I'm happy to spend a fate point to say this. Can I say that I have bull bars on my cars that are made out of that has iron in it?
Oh, that makes complete sense. That it would already be there. You don't have to spend it for that.
Yep, well, cool. I mean, steel counts as iron. It's just steel. So anything made out of steel counts as iron.
Does it? Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yes.
We're about to find out when I start running things over.
Yeah. Your police
people, vehicle dogs, definitely, whatever.
your police vehicle definitely has like the cow catcher up front that you can just push through stuff with. All right. So
wait till you find me that source.
Okay.
I'm just imagining a bumper mounted snow plow where he's just like,
yeah.
So Waitley, you've dived into the back seat, I guess, while this is going on.
I've dapperly got into the front seat as
shotgun position.
Yes, I'm humming a nice little ditty to myself. My eyes are aglow, and my hair almost stands up on end. I am joyous.
Right, two things then. Lorenzo, you're trying to basically run over as many of these roving packs as you can. I just want you to be able to keep control of your car. So, either focus or force will do for me here.
I'll go force because it's higher.
Yep. Looking for a better than average success, and when that's no problem. All right.
And it's something about my character's behind the wheel of a car. It's
just yeah.
It is your thing.
Yeah.
Your headlights are good enough that you are now catching the fact that these roving things are wolves, long dead, reanimated.
That's why I'm dead. I've got the iron.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Watley, what are you trying to do?
I am trying to see if there is strings that lead from all these undead things to something.
Okay. That definitely sounds like focus to me.
All right.
So are you opening your third eye to do this?
Or no.
Okay. Oh, come on.
Oh, my gosh. I crit.
Okay. The roving bands are definitely tied to one another. You can see ethereal bands of this sickly magic connecting them, which you've long since come to associate with this alien plague that's coming through from the outsider gates, and where it's not real. It's not magic per se. It is definitely, it's just something unnatural that you're able to pick up on. So they're all kind of webbed together. So they seem to be acting in concert. It's going to take you a little time to see if there is a master web, if, as it were. So you're picking up on the network, but now you're having to trace it back. So in the next round, I'm going to have you make an intellect roll to see if you can trace it back. But it's going to take you this round to just establish the connection.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Because Lorenzo's just assuming that there's a go after, given that there does seem to be coordination around groups. So, and he's assuming Wilbur can do it. Find that source.
All right, back to the other group. Father, you've just finished your prayer.
Hallelujah and praise be. Welcome back to the fray, Father.
I never left it. There appear to be people out on the street still in danger.
Most folks have gotten back into the houses. And so the wolves don't seem to be a danger to them, but you are noticing that there are roving gangs of people that are kicking down doors and going in, and you're hearing the screams from inside.
All right. I take it that I've been noticed by maybe one of these gangs, because I'm not exactly subtle.
Give me a sec. No, not yet. You guys have gone unnoticed. They seem to be more concerned about going into houses than taking care of the people outside of the houses. Almost as if there's a delineation here and the wolves are supposed to do that.
I know, huh? Funny that. How close is the closest group?
Next house over.
Okay, so it's like three steps away kind of thing?
Yeah, a block away. I mean, no one builds right next to the church, so it's like a block away.
Okay, you know, I know, and from what I've seen, they look like normal people.
Yeah, no lights, so as far as you can tell, they just look like people.
Okay, I very calmly walk up behind somebody kicking at a door, and I tap them on the shoulder like I'm going to ask them for a match. And as soon as they start to turn, I cuff them with the hilt of the sword across the jaw.
All right, before you get there, let's have the rest of you guys, including Paul and Eddie and you and the father, let's give you a notice roll for this scene. So you guys go ahead and make me focus rolls.
Focus rolls. All right. Okay. Not my best room. Aha!
James, something that I do instead of making people roll for notice at each situation is I do it for the entire scene. So whatever a person rolls here, is it goes for the whole scene.
I would like to tap a fate point for that, too.
Okay.
It's a New Year's Eve.
Yep.
I have an aspect, home for the holidays.
Oh, that's excellent. That's fantastic.
Sure, you're going to add a plus two, make that a three?
Plus two. Yes, I am.
Okay. Father, are you satisfied with the zero, or do you want to tap something for that?
One of the weird things is the way while you're like wielding the sword and doing swordy crap, you can use your faithful aspect on anything you want. And that, yep. Okay, then I want to use my faithful aspect on that.
Okay, sure. It'll give it a plus two, so you're at a two. Eddie, are you satisfied with the minus one?
It acts as a plus five aspect.
Okay, plus five then. Good enough.
Wait, it only adds as a plus five access aspects once per game.
Okay, good. Red is way too powerful for me. I was like, wait, that can't be right.
Yes, it's once per session that you can do that. And then it gets marked and then...
Okay, then it's marked. Okay, so that's okay. Sorry, I'm new to Fate, so this is all.
Oh, of course. No, you're cheating. You're cheating at this.
So, yeah, if we change scenes for some reason, then that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, it's once per session.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just the one time, not for the entire scene.
Also, that's a very particular part of that particular aspect. So it's not always like that.
I'll stand on my zero because he's, in spite of being all faithful, he's pretty self-important.
And Eddie, again, are you happy with the minus one or do you want to do something more for that?
No, that's cool. I'm following Paul anyway, so.
All right, then, Father, as far as you know, this is just a group of thugs looking to take advantage of the dark and what's going on to, you know, to commit a bit of larceny. So you put your hand on the last man in the group's shoulder. This is a group of three. What do you do? What do you say?
I don't say anything. I try to, like, get him to turn and look, and as soon as he turns and looks, I try to cuff him with the hilt of the sword.
Ooh, okay, so you turn him around. This man has been dead. And dead for some time. His skin has mummified in the cold. There are no eyes evident. The jaw has long since been broken. No lower jaw at all.
Okay, can I can you actually invoke negative traits on yourself?
Yes.
Okay. I'm new to this whole Knight of the Sword or Knight of the Cross thing. Mm-hmm. It's the first time I've ever seen an undead human. I literally go, ah, and actually step back, having not been used to the snow either, slip on some ice and fall on my butt and drop my sword.
Sure. So we're going to tag you with a negative aspect that you're shocked for this scene, which is going to give you a minus two to your actions, but you can take a fate
point. What aspect did he tap though?
That he's new to the night of this thing. He's new to the,
yeah. That gets him a fate point, doesn't it?
Yep. Gives him a fate point.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Paul and Eddie, you see it. I think both of you know what's up, though. So what do you do?
Busting its rib cage. Yep.
Okay, well, go ahead, Paul. Or go ahead, Eddie.
Yep, go and let Eddie go first.
Okay, unless you want to do something about it, your equivalent.
Is that enough to put an aspect on it, though?
Yes, when you bounce like that, you can give it a fleeting aspect. So what do? You can make it off balance.
I have a suggestion if you want.
I'll say on slick surface, so it's got trying to get its footing because I pushed it back.
Sure. It could just be, it just could be off balance then. That's fine. So Paul, yeah, you can take advantage of that.
Yep. Now that it's off balance, I'm going to swiftly come off to the side and waylay it again. Is that good enough for a sneaky or?
That's sneaky. That's fine. And you can tap the free, the one time free on the him being off his feet. Not so good.
I will. Can I tap it for a reroll?
Yeah, you can do that instead.
Mm. I'll do that instead. Came to the same.
Yep. So that's basically just going to be a miss unless you want to do something else.
Basically, I just, since he's undead, I got him real good, but it doesn't, the way I got him doesn't matter to the undead.
Yeah, sure. Passes through a broken rib cage or something.
Yep.
All right. I had you two guys go and do it this way because they're kind of surprised. So we will enter normal combat and think who's fastest between the three of you guys.
Me, I think I got two.
Did it go off haste?
Yeah. So what are your haste scores for Eddie and the father?
Two.
Okay, how about the father?
One.
Okay, so it sounds like Paul's the fastest.
I'm actually tied with Eddie, but I guess in story.
All right, yeah, if you're tied, who wants the first action then?
So, in this system, first actor chooses who goes next. And then the last guy gets to determine who goes next the next round. So, if you let the bad guys act last, they're going to act first. So, they're going to get two actions.
I'll go first. How many opponents do we have, or do they count as one group?
Two of them have gone inside, and you kind of stopped the one in the doorway. So while you were confronting the one at the end, the other two have gone inside. You can hear screaming from inside the house.
Paul is going to shove aside the guy that's still outside and go in to assist with this.
Okay, so you're just going to bypass him? That's fine.
Yep.
Although if you want to shove him, technically, if you want to put a put an aspect on him of him off balance, you can roll for that. Otherwise, you can just get past him. Either one is fine.
Which would allow me to potentially save people faster.
Get past him.
Or
yeah.
I will get past him.
All right. So you just go past him into the room. One of them is already dragging a woman out of the bedroom and seems to be like just the finger bones are just scratching big hunks of meat or at least starting to. The man has a fireplace poker and is trying to fend off the other one as you enter. So moving past is going to be your action, though, but you do see what's going on. Who goes next?
I am going to say the zombie I bypassed.
Zombie you bypass, in which case he's going to try and just rake you in the back.
That's fine.
Two! You can defend by moving into the room quickly, or however you do it.
I will try that.
All right, go ahead.
I will take a strain, another stress, I guess.
Yeah, take a box.
Paul gets beat up, but he's okay with that.
Yep. They will choose to have... So the rest of them go, too. So the ones inside, the one with the woman...
Ooh.
Okay, yeah. Big chunk of flesh is taken out of her abdomen as it you know, lifts it to its face and begins to chew or tries to. The other one that is in the room is going to try and get past the guy who is waving the poker at it. And also a big slash across his throat as he drops, holding his neck. There's arterial spray.
Do these things have scale on us? Didn't the woman match then, or no?
I rolled a 3, she rolled a 1, so no.
Oh, okay.
The 40 fudge plus 3 was it, and then she's just average, so she had no bonus, so yeah.
I just saw 2 ones, I thought both ones were there.
Oh, no, I hit it twice on accident. So I'm going to call the fathers next. Father, you're butt in the snow. Shocked at what you're seeing. What do you do?
I kind of reach with my hand without looking blindly for the sword. And one of these things is on the ground, like eating people, right?
It's inside the house. You don't actually see that yet.
Okay.
You're on the outside. That one's on the inside. There's one standing on the threshold that just took a swipe at Paul as he entered the house, but that's the only one you see right now.
I'm going to pick my sword up and attempt to basically football check that one in the back.
Sure. Sounds forceful to me.
Yep.
All right. So it got you by 1. Do you want to stand there, or do you have any points left to spend to get that higher?
I just earned a fate point. So I will burn that to get a +2.
Okay. You have to couple that with an aspect. You can't just burn it. Yeah. So what aspect are you tapping
in? Let's see. Are your concepts considered aspects as well?
Yes.
Okay. I am a man seeking redemption. I am grabbing my sword, and that is kind of a renewal of faith in this moment of weakness. I've heard these people scream.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, you said arterial spray, so I may have seen some blood shoot out of the doorway.
Sure.
This is an example of what my weakness of faith will cost people. It will cost people their lives. And that is not okay, and it is sure as hell not okay for someone bearing a sword of the cross.
So that'll bump you up to a 6, which is enough to damage it. Not enough to put it down, but to damage it. Actually, you said you were going to check it. You were going to try and knock it down.
Given that, yeah, to knock it down.
Okay, in which case, yes, it is knocked down, and it now has an aspect on it that it is prone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so there's only one person left in the scene, so that would be Eddie's turn. So the father just checked the thing; it's laying down on the ground in front of the threshold of the house. What do you do?
Bringing down the axe side of my baseball bat and trying to decapitate.
Sure, give me a roll. All right, you're tied up, but you can tap. You can get the free tap on the aspect that has on, that it has on it now to get the plus two if you want.
Totally doing that.
Yeah, and that is enough to put it out.
It's pinned in the doorway. Head comes off.
All right, so you are last in the scene, so you're first in the next action. What do you do? Actually, there's a police car that comes into the yard as it rolls over a couple wolves, and so we'll bring Lorenzo and Watley into the scene as well. So they are now part of the scene. But Eddie, you start the top of the scene. So what do?
Go in the house, finish off the other ones.
Okay, there is one that is chewing on the intestines of a woman who's screaming on the ground, and one about ready to finish off a guy that's clutching his throat, bleeding out. Which one are you going for?
I'll take out the one that's still attacking the man.
All right, go for it. Oh, wow, that's impressive. that's enough for spin, so actually you take out both of them. Explain how you do that.
All right, so I run in, I take the head off of the one that's attacking the man. And with my other hand, I grab onto the poker and fling it across the room, and it just goes right into the throat of the other one.
All right. Yeah, which will sever its head from its spine, causing it to stop moving.
I then stand there blinking.
We will. That's the end of the combat, as nothing else is moving right now. So everyone's together again. Wilbur.
Yes.
Give me that intellect roll to see if you can trace down if there is a single thread that's binding them all together.
One ring to rule them all and the darkness bind them. There's three.
Yes. You can track it. There is a single thread that seems to be holding all of this together.
Guys, get him. We're going after the source.
Avaunt! There a mountain of darkness and hatred lay. Come. May we burn.
Yeah, what Lorenzo said. Come on, Father. Let's hit your ride.
Are these people beyond saving?
The woman is still alive. The man, if he doesn't get immediate aid, is going to bleed out and die.
Okay, I immediately run over, like, they're calling for me. I run over and, like, put pressure on his neck and yell for the police.
Hey, Lorenzo, you're being called as the nearest officer on site.
Here's the problem. Father Mallory wouldn't know, but the other two, the other characters would. Lorenzo's just going to leave them.
Yeah.
Lorenzo ain't coming to help them.
Oh, well, you are in your police car, though. I mean, you could call for help if you wanted, or a medic.
Yeah, I can call for backup and stuff, or that's the best I'm going to do, but I am not sticking around, is the point. Yeah, because we get a ambulance to this location. Call it in, Father. We're leaving now.
We can't let these people die. If they don't get medical attention immediately, they're going to die.
Does anyone actually here have any kind of background in first aid or as a doctor?
Well, I have an aspect that can be evoked called Refuge and Audacity, and these people need refuge.
You once saw a doctor played on television.
Actually, I was thinking of something else. Heeding his call, it's like, fine, Father, Lorenzo, go. I'll catch up with the father later. And I'm going to try to use Pathfinder. I'm going to take them through the Never Never straight to a hospital.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow. Okay.
That's awesome.
That's rather audacious. Yeah. Okay. Well,
let's do I get open a fate point?
Yes, you do. Let's tear open the veil here and create a portal to the Never Never first.
How aware of the supernatural am I? Is this something that I'm aware that these people can do?
Probably not. I mean, you're made aware that there are these things. I mean, that kind of is the mantle that comes with a sword, but you don't know everything. Right. And you do. Yeah.
This is a bit of a more unusual thing. You probably may have been instructed that Fae can do this, and wizards, hypothetically, but it's more of a fey thing to do it just off the cuff.
I very much doubt that he has been told that.
Right, I kind of imagine it like if
well, depending on how new he is.
It's like for Dead Rights level Butters exposure. What? Huh? He's just like he's standing there aghast.
Well, let's see if he can do it. First of all, you have to forcefully tear open a gate through the Never. Do that first.
Whoo! Forcefully, it requires force, does it? My worst stat.
Yeah, if you can rationalize me another way, you would do it because. You know, it's not like you could use guile because there's nothing there that you are going to be.
How's your heist?
Are we allowed to help each other?
I'm doing this. Well, this is a medical emergency, so I'm doing this fast.
Okay, haste is fine. You're going to try to quickly do this. Okay, that's enough. Now, here's the trick: is to actually have opened a way that will get you to a hospital with a minimal amount of obstruction along your way. So now make me an intellect roll.
Oh, man.
Let's see.
Lorenzo, they appear not to have the necessary haste that I would want them to.
Not super great, but... I'm going to tap my aspect home for the holidays and give it a plus two.
You've already tapped it once. This.
You
this
are end. Right. I did. Yeah. Did I tap Wayward Son of the Earl King's Hound?
Nope. You have not.
I'll tap that one.
You're gonna tap that aspect?
Oh no!
Makes perfect sense that he would know his way through the ways because of that, though. It makes perfect sense.
Yes, it would, but that's not like that's the type of thing that. Never mind.
Right. I'm like, that's okay. Also my trouble. So there we go.
Okay, so you're going to have a two. I just rolled randomly to see what kind of opposition was going to be. So a two, so it's going to bounce.
Could I spend just a fate point for just a plus one?
No, they don't. They don't do that anymore, but bounces are fine. This works for you. So what does that look like? You just create a rent in the air through the Never. And what are you telling the father?
I said, Father, if you want to get them to a hospital fast, this is the way to go. There's no other choice. Time to take a leap of faith.
The father kind of stands there aghast until he says the word leap of faith. And he clamps it like almost like he's almost strangling the poor guy and like basically picks the guy up by the neck and the knees and says, grab the woman. Don't let any more of her guts spill out. And is like closes his eyes and dives in, basically plunges in.
Okay. So the father goes in with the man who grabs the woman.
Paul does. Everybody else should be driving away in a
yeah. So car it looks like Eddie has hopped into the car. Okay. Very good. So we're going to cut scenes to that. So, Mr. Whatley, you are tracking down this thread of power. You got your sirens on, Lorenzo?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so winding your way through the darkened city streets, sirens blasting, headlights on, and of course Lorenzo's probably trying to plow into as many dogs as he can along the way. I would imagine.
I am also lending a little bit of hatred towards the dogs, setting a few on fire.
Sure. The web of power that you're following doesn't seem to be particularly strong, but it is strong enough to hold the will or has the will to animate all of these things. They don't seem to be held together pretty well. I mean, it seems like just a minor amount of damage is enough to disrupt the spell, causing the animated creature to die. But you're tracing down this central stock of power, and you're careening through the streets. Ahead of you, there is an SUV parked. Inside cabin lights are on. There's a couple of guys standing outside with rifles. You're pretty sure that the person in that car is the one that is controlling all of this mayhem.
Well, you know what I'm doing at this point, so...
You gonna ram the car?
Of course I'm ramming the car! It's my character behind the wheel, of course!
Oh, yeah. No airbags in these things in 1983. All right. Go for it. Forcefully ramming a car into another car? Is that-
yep.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I would like to assist here. And how I would like to assist is I would like to pick up his car, the opponent's car, ever so slightly. So that way, when we smack it, we're going to automatically flip the SUV.
Ooh. What kind of power are you putting into that to make that happen?
I am going to evocate a wind spell.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. It's a heavy SUV, so looking at it more than just an average success, but go for it.
I remember this does have bull bars and stuff, so it's not like... Yeah.
Well, you know, some things are just not meant to be.
do you want to tap anything?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Do you fumble or anything? Could you get backlash spell?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you're all right. All right. So yeah, the spell dissipates. Lorenzo rams into the car. Lorenzo, just roll me a D4, just to see where the two outside guys are in relation to your car bearing down.
40 fudge. Minus two. Right.
They jump out of the way as the car is rammed. Okay, so you rolled a 5, right?
I rolled a 5. So
let me just see here.
And I haven't spent
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's the
gym. Hairs into the SUV.
I was going to say, is the gym about to spend a chip or something?
The SUV has big mud tires on, so you've got a lower center of gravity. And so the police cruiser actually lifts the SUV, rolls it into the trees on the side, which, since you're still monitoring things there, Mr. Watley, breaks the spell that is being cast from the car. However, there is impact, so it goes both ways, unfortunately, here. So that was a heck of an impact. 6 points. Police cruiser, I'll take 3 off because of the heaviness of your cruiser, but all of you are going to take a box 3, no airbags.
Don't you just take 3 stress in this one?
You take 3 stress, right? It's not just box 3, it's you take 3.
Frankly, I like it this way better.
Yeah. Has everybody got 3 boxes to take? Or no?
How many boxes do you know?
6. We all have 6.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Because I had 6 on the character sheet, but I wasn't sure. It was just the default character sheet.
Yep. There's no difference in between will or physical. Yeah. There's just...
So Eddie in the back, also, you're in the back seat. You're also taking this as well. All right. Cut scenes. You guys stumble out of the Never Never in front of the hospital. Emergency lighting is already in place. There are already ambulances up front that are bringing injured in. Lots of people got mauled by these wolves. And so you just kind of pop out. Let me just give a roll here real quick. Okay, yeah, nobody notices you. There is enough going on that you just suddenly appearing there doesn't seem to make any difference as you run up to the doors of the hospital. Father, you jump through first, so you're still got your hand clamped around this guy's throat. He's looking at you, pleading in his eyes as you feel his heartbeat slowing. What do you do?
I'm literally using the sword because I was stupid and said I left the scabbard back in the church. Under his spine to keep him level.
So he's laying on it. Okay.
I come plattered with this guy plattered on a medieval broadsword, and I just come through the ER, probably leaving a stream of blood behind me. And I grab the first person in medical smocks I see and say, "Get me someone now." And I always look angry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's a lot going on. He doesn't even question it. He looks, he tells you, here, keep your hand where it is.
Now.
Yeah. They actually have you sit with the guy on a stretcher while you're keeping your hands on his throat. He tells you, do not move your hands, and they wheel you and him in. Okay. Coming up behind is Paul with the woman who's, you know, it's holding her guts in. Yeah. Same thing. They take you in.
Do I have to say anything?
No, not at all. They actually, she's not as bad off as he is. So they just take her from you.
I know it's a bad day when guts spilling out is not the worst case in the room.
So she's the burden is taken from you. Paul, are you going to hang around or what?
I follow after the father to retrieve him as soon as he is pried off the patient.
Okay, that'll take a bit. All right, so back to the car crash.
I said what? Like they're busy tonight or something?
No, not at all. Back to the car crash. So the sirens on the car on your police cruiser are still going off.
Oh, they're a bit distorted now.
Your cattle pusher is embedded in the SUV. You've kind of cracked the paneling, and it's embedded in there. The two guys that were flung aside are slowly starting to get up and bearing their rifles. So we are going into a combat round here. What are your hastes? We'll start with you, Lorenzo. What's your haste score?
Well, actually, it's more whoever starts this.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's meant to be fast, furious action. So Lorenzo started this whole thing. So
yeah, go for it, Lorenzo.
Okay, if I can do it, I just put a jump out with my rifle, with the shotgun ready, and just blast the first guy away. He's in the way.
All right, so you're just gonna level your shotgun out the window and shoot.
Yeah,
go for it. That's fine.
Forceful, I assume.
Yeah. Or haste, either one. But
I'll go with
four. Okay, so you're just going to miss unless you want to do something special there.
No, I don't feel like there's anything special at the moment.
Do you have firearms training?
Oh yeah, I do. So that's a plus one with a gun. So that's equal. It still bounces, but it's equal. Yeah.
No, equals succeeds.
Does it?
Yeah, well, it depends on what the action is.
Okay, well, I succeed. Well, I equal, so...
Yeah, so you don't succeed, you don't harm the target, but you gain a boost on an attack. So what you want to tag him with that someone else can take advantage of?
Shy, as any sort of... But wary, so
suppressing
of,
fire. Yeah, suppressing fire,
yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
All right, so who's next?
Eddie.
All right, you're in the back seat, Eddie.
Busting out the back seat and, you know, there we go, tackling the guy that he shot at.
Oh, sure, yeah, running after the guy shot at. Go for it. Okay. If you want to tap the aspect that he has on him of being suppressed, that will give you enough to take him out, and you can just tell me how you do that if you wish.
He throws his shotgun out, fires. My door comes open. I am just charging, bat in one hand. And I just lay into him with my shoulder and he hits the ground with a thud.
Yep. Okay. And what you notice, again, is that this is a corpse. And so you see its motivating force just leaves it as you tackled it out. Who's next?
So as far as we did, well, I don't know if the other bad guy is two different bad guys or just the one bad guy with minion at the same time.
Choose the bad guy.
But yeah, choose the bad guy.
We'll listen to the creepy witch doctor voice in my head and choose the bad guy.
All right, bad guy. So the other one has gotten his firearm. He is going to shoot into the car, and he's going to be on Watley's side.
Why? This is...
Well, racist. I shot the guy that was on... Naturally, I shot the guy on my side, but that means the guy on your side, unfortunately.
Racism against wizards.
You're fine. He rolls a zero, and I would assume your window was up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it just glances off the police car itself. Now, the guy in the SUV, however, does something in the background.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, does it really well, too. Yeah.
He does something. And we will designate... go ahead, Mr. Watley, you're next.
All right. I will try to take out the undead, and I will try to burn him. And I will say, to Giro. And
Giro? As in the nice, tasty treat?
Also, a crit on him.
Yeah.
Not hero.
Okay. Sounds good. Describe how he's taken out.
As he has thankfully busted out the glass for me with his bullets, I point my cane, and the skull on top of the cane opens up, and a little lance of fire comes out, and he becomes a pillar of flame. He falls to his knees, consumed from within by a greenish laughing fire.
Okay, nice. And that's everybody. Yep. So top of the next round is you.
Yep. I will get out of my car and I will trot over to the other side to see about Mr. Wizard Man.
Okay. He apparently had climbed out of the SUV on the side. The thing had a moonroof on it, climbed out of that. You see that there is blood on the inside of the SUV, but you don't see anyone. There's also something laying in the passenger side. Well, since the SUV's on its side, it's kind of laying on the window of the passenger side.
Okay.
It's a bit of stone, oblongish, but not completely so, about a foot long by half a foot wide.
I will tear open my sight if I still have another part.
Sure. Go ahead and roll for it.
Focus action. I will spin because
you don't need to. It's good enough.
No, it's
for you to see. Oh, that's right. Yours needs more. Go for it.
I do need to have a plus. I need to have a plus two on the psych to be able to make anything out. So I will take out old blood remembers the old debts.
Okay. It gives you a three, which will allow you to see that a way has been opened. So it's still fragile. You could force it open if you want, but it looks like whoever was in the SUV opened away and has crossed.
Say, gather to me. The hunt is not yet done.
Okay.
All right, so we're out of combat scene. So what do you want to do?
I will rip that way open. Close my third eye and rip that way open.
Give me a forceful roll.
Yeah. I would have come around the other side and told you to go over the top.
Two.
Two is enough. Since it was freshly opened, you just, you cause it to reopen itself. And on the other side, you have no idea where it's opening into, but wherever it is like Arctic wasteland. Dark gray skies. There are ice caps and icebergs as far as you can see. And the land is frozen hard. There are footsteps on the other side, however, leading off.
Away.
Okay. Who's following, Mr. Watley?
Totally following.
Yep.
All right. Looks like we're gonna end on a cliffhanger then.
Oh, yeah, we know how those work out.
Yep.
Follow. You follow into a way. Who knows where it is? Been open onto. Meanwhile, back in the hospital, Father. They get him in, they wheel you and the guy into the ER room and they have you keep pressure on him until they get everything set up. And afterwards, are you going to wait around to see if they make it and Paul has followed you?
No, I don't have time to do that. I just needed to do the best I could to help him, but I can't wait around to see if he's okay.
All right. So what do you want to do?
I look at Paul and I'm like, now what?
Now we pray, and end scene for the cliffhanger.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, we will end scene there.
I can do that.
Although, if we can suggest something, perhaps Mr. Pathfinder there could say, okay, we're now going to track to the other guys, open the way, and end up with us somehow.
Well, actually, I was going to leave that for the next one, because my Pathfinder actually says, once per session, you may declare your convenient arrival in a scene via portal.
Key word there.
I track you across the never never. I am that good.
Or possibly between sessions to be able to help you explain.
Also, to be frank, the cross, the Knight of the Cross has a I show up in the scene.
Yep.
I do have that, and I will gladly use that.
Yep. Yeah, but let's save it for the next game.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I will point out, you did not say, or no one said, they picked up the object inside the SUV.
I forgot that.
Yep. I wouldn't have known to, because Mr. Wizard just said go that way.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I get so caught up in my, I'm a wizard.
Nice. Well, I hope that was enjoyable for folks. And we will pick up in 2 weeks, assuming people's schedules work out.
Sorry for splitting the party immediately, Bert, but thank you for letting
me. James, hope you enjoyed your first session with us.
Yes, I did. Very much so.
Nice. All right, guys. Just keep track on Discord or otherwise, and I'll let you know. But typically, we try to run this every 2 weeks. The game in between is a Powered by the Apocalypse game called Pig Smoke. If you care to join that one, James, you're welcome to. But otherwise, I will see everybody in a couple of weeks.